When you're expecting a baby, there's so much excitement. Nursery colors, prams, car seats. But how much time are you spending learning about the actual birth experience, your birth experience? The truth is, birth isn't just one day. The choices you make have lifelong effects for you and your baby. I'm Progeny Papa, the mama of Mama Magic and mom of two. And if there's one thing I've learned, birth matters. And being informed gives you the confidence to navigate it your way. So today we're talking about the pathway to a healthy birth, how to stay on track, what can throw you off, and how your body is designed for this incredible journey. Joining me is Lynn Bluff, South Africa's leading childbirth educator, passionate about evidence-based birth practices. She's here to help us understand the perfect dance of birth hormones, why movement is in labor is key, and how to create the best birthing opportunities. So let's get started. Lynn, welcome back for another wonderful conversation on birthing, right? So this time we're talking about a healthy path to birth, a healthy pathway to birth. Let's take that again. A pathway to a healthy birth. Okay. Lynn, welcome back again. Thank you so much for being with us. And we're so excited to talk about how do we create a pathway to a healthy birth, right?
Absolutely. Isn't that just a wonderful journey that one needs to go on? That we certainly, on our pathway to a healthy birth, we don't know which way it's going to go. There are lots of turns along the way. We certainly don't want to go round and round in circles. We'd like to take a nice pathway along a quiet, serene environment alongside a river. We certainly don't want to land up in a dead end.
That's true.
And there are going to be roads that fork along the way. That's on this true. Pathway.
Now, when I look back, having gone through the content that you sent me, and I look back at my own pathway with both my births, and I can see so many things that I could have done differently. I would love to have done differently if I knew better, right? But how can moms, expectant moms today, what advice would you give them to stay on the right path to a healthy birth today? What are those essential items for you?
I think one of the key factors is that you want to have as much information and knowledge on pregnancy and the birthing process as early in your pregnancy as possible. You know, often people, yeah, they may go to childbirth education classes, but by then they've already chosen a gynae, a hospital. They've made decisions, but they actually aren't even aware of the choices that they had. And if people went to early pregnancy classes, you know, ideally before they actually even fell pregnant or early in their pregnancy, to say, wow, these are the choices that are open to you. Make sure that you've got all that knowledge and you make really good choices.
Now, how important is the birth plan? Let's start there, right? Is the birth plan the key to a good pathway that, you know, we're setting for ourselves? Is that where we start?
I think that it starts way before the birth plan.
Okay.
Because the birth plan, you're looking at what you'd like around the birth.
The actual physical birth then, yes. Right.
Whereas the choices that you need to make early on in pregnancy is, for example, who do I go for? Who do I go to for my birth? Do I go to a midwife? Do I go to a GP? Do I go to a gynae? Where do I want to have my baby? Do I want a home birth, a midwives unit birth, or a high-end hospital birth? And those are critical decisions, because if you are wanting to have as normal and natural birth as possible, if you go to a gynae obstetrician who specializes in cesareans, do you really think that you are going to have a really good chance of having a normal vaginal birth without any intervention? No. So we've got to know also early on what is important that I need to do for my baby. What is best for me? What is best for my baby? And so I need to make choices around there.
So the pathway isn't just about in that last trimester now deciding, you know, how am I going to create a room of love, for example, a beautiful environment, but it starts as soon as you fall pregnant?
Absolutely. You know, for those few people who really plan their pregnancy down to T, they would ideally be finding out these things
before
they fall pregnant, because it makes such a difference.
Right.
Not everybody knows that how really important it is to have good nutrition, to take folic acid supplements, to get the right supplements to give your baby the best chance of a great brain development, particularly because if you think about it, your baby is almost fully formed before you know that you're pregnant.
That's interesting.
You know, the little heart is beating. It's a miniature little baby human before you know it, 6 weeks that, oh, gee whiz, you know, actually I'm pregnant. That baby's well on the way to being very formed and developed. And so if you know these things before you fall pregnant and you can actually take folic acid, pregnancy supplements that give you all the good things for brain development, all the omegas and things like that, that is going to benefit your chances for having a healthy pregnancy, as well as benefit your baby in its developmental process. So yes, it's really preconceptual planning, not is where one actually needs to start. And then you know about who should you go to, what is the difference? Are all births the same?
Right.
And so does it matter whether I strive for a vaginal birth or whether I strive for a booked Caesar? If I don't know the benefits of a normal birth and the benefits of a Caesar, how can I make that decision?
Mm.
And so that is why it is critical to actually understand about pregnancy and birth before you making all these decisions, because then you're going on somebody else's decision making. Oh, well, my social media network says, oh, it's a good thing to have a Caesar.
Yeah.
I go to the gynae because my mother and my aunt and my sister all went to that gynae. That's not making informed choices and decisions.
Yeah.
And so you limit how wonderful an experience you may have with birthing, and you limit the long-term health impact on your baby, because these things make a difference.
Now, tell me, when we, you know, moms also get very set on this plan. So let's not talk about a birthing plan, but a pregnancy plan, like the journey that I would like to be on, because that's what I'm hearing you say. You know, this is what kind of nutrients I'd like to have. And, you know, exploring the opportunities for different gynaes, different medical professionals that you have to be involved. But how can moms balance this checklist, you know, and should they be flexible on this checklist, you know, because sometimes not everything can be, you know, come to fruition.
Absolutely. I think that one's got to have what you're striving towards. So the research will tell you that it is much healthier for the mom and the baby to have a vaginal birth. Okay, mm-hmm. So we are talking about an uncomplicated pregnancy, an uncomplicated birth, and it is best for the mom to actually go to a midwife for her birth, whether it's a home birth or a midwife's unit. Those are really good options.
Right.
That is what you're striving for because you understand what the research says, that if at all possible, and there are no complications, that is the best pathway.
Woman, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Best pathway to this natural birth, to birth.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Yes, we do need to be flexible without a doubt because things happen. Life happens. And we cannot dictate exactly what is going to happen with our labor. And we need to know, well, if things aren't going according to normal, this is why, this is what can happen. These are then the choices that I am aware about. So yes, if I've got to have a cesarean, do I ask to wait to go into labor before I have my Caesar? Or does it make any difference whether I choose a date to actually have my Caesar? Does it make a difference whether I have my baby at 40 weeks, 39 weeks, 38 weeks, 37 weeks? And it's that sort of information that becomes critical, that no matter what your experience, you actually understand what the research says. Number one is best for you and your baby, and number two, what the options are, so that you make good, informed choices.
Yes, you need to know what's the alternatives, because like you say, doesn't always go to plan.
Absolutely.
Right? Now, I mean, my children were born years ago, and the trends and were so different at the time. But you know, the simple thing is that our bodies are still the same. The bodies haven't changed. Yes, we've aged, but in terms of a woman's body, hasn't changed, right? So, can you now explain to me how do all the hormones work together in perfect harmony during birth?
Okay, so we want the positive hormones, okay, to be actually created. So we want your oxytocin, your love hormone, to actually be around. Mm-hmm. You want your catecholamines, okay, which is your adrenaline, your stress hormones, mm-hmm. that actually cause you to take flight or to fight. We want them under control and monitored. But we still need them to play a part, okay, particularly 24 hours before a woman goes into natural labor, mm-hmm. her stress hormones will increase, and that extra little bit of adrenaline being released is called eustress, good stress,
okay.
And that adrenaline actually helps at that stage your baby's lungs to mature, and four, it protects the baby's brain against low oxygen levels during the labor process, because as you have a contraction, there will be less oxygen during that contraction going to your baby, and hence less oxygen.
Yes.
Okay. So this adrenaline has actually primed that baby's brain to say, actually, we're protecting you from this the stress that you're going to actually have of low oxygen during labor.
But I've heard, I remember hearing that like stress can affect your labor, right?
Absolutely. So I'm saying this little bit of stress, 24 hours, is the natural stress response that is positive. We don't want to actually have stress during pregnancy or during labor because it just complicates things. It's not good for your body, it's not good for your baby, it's not good for your labor, it'll slow your labor down, and then the likelihood is that you will need to have some form of intervention along the laboring pathway.
Of course.
Yes.
So then I suppose as part of the pathway now to creating a healthy birth is then making sure we create an environment that is conducive to all these hormones, to the right mix of these hormones, right?
Absolutely. You do want this right mix. So you want to be as calm and peaceful and relaxed as possible, whether it's during your pregnancy or during your labor, because whatever you are experiencing when you are pregnant, so your baby is experiencing. So if you are very stressed out and you've got high adrenaline levels, your baby is learning to live on high adrenaline levels, which is not good because it causes the body to be very, very stressed. Mm. We don't want this baby to be born stressed.
Before it even comes out,
absolutely,
stress levels are high. And yes, in this world that we're living in, that's the least we want.
Yes, so very important to actually keep a check on your environment, what you do, what you expose yourself, because whatever you're exposing yourself to, you expose your baby to. And so we do want to try and live as peaceful and stress-free a life as possible.
So again, I think it boils down to moms understanding mm-hmm. the choices that they have and to put this into their birthing plan, right? Whether it's sharing this with your partner and your family, understanding how you want to balance those hormones during the pregnancy, and then sharing it with your caregivers and mm-hmm. the professionals that are going to be around you for the birth as well, making that quite explicit, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And not all pregnant moms and their partners will see eye to eye. I mean, that is also one of the reasons mm-hmm. that pregnancy is 9 months long, because it gives you time to negotiate too. And so it's very important, again, that early on in your pregnancy, you start discussing these things, these options. You may think, this is great, I'm in for a home birth, natural and normal as possible. Yes. And your partner is aghast. No, that's not safe enough.
Of course.
Okay, so if you then go back to childbirth education classes, go back to what the evidence actually says, mm-hmm. and then you can say, but hey, I'm healthy. I've got a low-risk pregnancy. I'm fit. I'm healthy. This is what I want to strive for. And he understands that's what the evidence says. Then you can start saying, okay, well, maybe I won't have a home birth, but how about a birth at a midwife's unit? Okay, okay, so that there is a theater available should I need an emergency Caesar, but actually I've got a homely environment where they will accommodate my need for the room of romance, the room of oxytocin that actually gets the right hormones flowing so that I have the best opportunity to have a normal, uncomplicated birth.
Yeah, so it all goes back down to education. Right.
Education, education, education. But it is very important to know where you get your information from.
Very
there's
true.
Information, there's knowledge, there's research and evidence, and sometimes they're vastly different. Right. Just because somebody is posting on social media, this is what is good, that doesn't mean to say the evidence says that is good. That is what they are saying is good. And it's really important that you get your information off really good evidence-based websites, evidence-based books, evidence-based information, yeah, evidence-based classes.
And when we talk about evidence-based, I think just for our listeners to understand as well, evidence-based is not one person's experience.
Absolutely.
Unlike, you know, somebody sharing a personal experience on social media, for example. When we talk about research and evidence-based, it's supported by hundreds, research, if not thousands, of individuals experiencing similar or the same experience.
In a controlled and uncontrolled environment.
That too, exactly.
So actually, it is really good evidence-based research.
Yeah.
That it's not just somebody's experience, somebody's interpretation. It really is.
It's monitored.
Critical.
It's, yeah.
That actually you know what the evidence is actually showing. so that you can go in there confidently knowing that you are birthing and aiming at the best birth that is actually for you and your baby.
Now let's move on to the choices when we talk about positions during labor and movement during labor. Now, when I was pregnant, I mean, at that point in time, you know, lying on your back was the norm, yeah. Right? But what have we learned since then? How has birthing evolved since then?
Thankfully, a lot. Okay. It really is important what positions you actually labor and birth in. Because, you know, there's something you all know about gravity. What does gravity do? Gravity pulls down.
Yes.
So if you're lying flat on the bed on your side, where is gravity pulling down? Your side. Is this where this baby is going to be birthed through? No. So don't waste gravity. Gravity pulls you down. And you want to birth this baby down. You want this baby during labor to move down. So be in an upright position and let gravity pull your baby down.
And what about movement?
Movement is really critical. If we stay stock still in one position, and sometimes when you've got sore contractions, you don't want to move. But actually, movement moves not just the mom, the movement is going to move the baby.
Oh, yes.
So by moving into a different position, it's going to jiggle the baby down through the pelvis. And so you want to move during labor. You want to move so this baby doesn't get stuck against something in the pelvis. You know, that pelvis is an intricate piece of anatomy.
Yeah, but it's not a straight shoot.
It's not a straight shoot. And this baby's got to undergo three distinct turns within the pelvis. You know, there's the top of the pelvis, the pelvic inlet, the middle of your pelvis, your pelvic cavity, and then the pelvic outlet where this baby's going to come out of. And those are three distinct shapes and sizes. And so this baby doesn't go through the pelvis. The baby goes in, moves through, moves and out.
Wow.
And so by you moving position, it's going to give that baby a chance to jiggle its way to find the right pathway through that pelvis. And so movement is so important. Positions are so important. There's actually a rule called the 5-4-3 rule of movements and positions in labor. So 5 stands for contractions.
Okay.
So it's saying that every 5 contractions, change position. Okay.
Contractions, right?
Every 5 contractions, change positions. Now, when our contractions are long, are far apart, it'll be a while before you change position. When your contractions are really close together, it means you're going to be changing position more frequently.
Right.
So it's not a timing thing. It's every 5 contractions, change position.
Okay.
The 4 relates to the position you're in.
Right.
And the 4 basic positions, okay, standing, sitting, all fours, and reclining.
Okay.
Those are your 4 basic positions. And so make sure you change your basic positions, okay? And then your 3 is related to the space within that pelvis that we said is really quite incredible for that baby to negotiate. And we can change that shape in the pelvis by doing different things.
Okay.
The one is, if we do thigh rotation, so basically, you, if you're standing, you would put your feet out, knees out, would change the shape in the different part of your pelvis by putting your feet in, toes in, knees together, is going to actually open and close different parts of that pelvis.
So true.
The second way to change the shape of the pelvis or the space within the pelvis is your pelvic tilt.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so your pelvic tilt, you tuck your tummy in, tuck your bum in, okay?
Right.
And tilt it the other way, okay? Bum out, tummy yeah. out, and that is going to change the space within your pelvis. The third one is called asymmetry. So instead of doing exactly the same thing on both sides of your body, mm-hmm. cause asymmetry. So for example, a lunge,
mm-hmm.
1 foot here, 1 foot there, or you put 1 foot standing on the ground and you put one on a chair. That is going to create asymmetry, and that is going to change the space within your pelvis.
Fascinating.
So it is really critical to know that you want to move, change position, move, change position, move, change position. It doesn't matter if you don't remember all the numbers. The That's critical it. Factor is I need to move and change position frequently.
Yes.
Okay.
That's so at the core of it. Absolutely.
Every five contractions, change position. Mm-hmm. Number four, there are four positions to go through. Standing, sitting, all fours, reclining. And then the three is to create space. So your thigh rotations, knees in, feet in versus knees out, feet out. Your pelvic tilt,
yeah.
Okay, and asymmetry. And that, you can picture it. I mean, if you think about it, that actually all that causes that baby to be shaken through the pelvis rather than to sit here and now my baby's hit a brick wall. Whereas if I change position, okay, I'm going to actually cause that baby to change position. It's no longer going to be at the brick wall. It's going to find a new pathway through the pelvis.
That's amazing. There's so many ways, and they're all such simple little movements that you explain.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's not an exercise class of note, but it's simple and subtle that it doesn't exhaust mom, but it's we're all able to do it.
Mm.
Now, how does mom, if we're in a hospital birth now, how can they still incorporate this kind of movement and to get that optimal position for birth?
I think it's about a mindset. You know, somehow we think, oh, I'm going to hospital. There's a bed in the room. I need to get into it.
Yes, and I'm going to stay here until this baby comes.
I'm sick, you know.
Yes.
And actually, that's the worst thing that you can do. So if you go back to creating this environment of your room of romance that has got comfort in it. It's got a birthing ball in it for a more upright position.
Or yoga mat.
Absolutely. You can, you know, do any position in that room if the mindset changes that actually I don't need to get into bed. Yes, if I've got a very long labor, I may need to go and have a rest.
Mm.
I may need to lie down for a short period of time, but then when I'm refreshed again, I need to get into a more of an upright position to get gravity on my side, and I need to move to actually give that baby the chance to actually jiggle down through the pelvis.
Fascinating. Now, let's go back to creating those best birthing options, right? I mean, gosh, if I went back and I had you at my side, I knew we were meant to meet at some point in time, you know. My grandchildren will benefit, let's hope.
Absolutely.
So how can moms today make sure they fully understand their birthing options, the birth options and their choices during pregnancy as well, so that we have a successful pathway?
Make sure that you are getting good information. Go and sit on some good webinars. We run thoughtful childbirth webinars once a month that are free to attend that actually explain different birthing options, knowledge, you know. Go and check that out. Yes.
Yes.
And you know, go and have a look at all of these options that are available. And for example, we've been talking about that 5-4-3 rule on the expectantmothersguide.co's website under Pregnancy Education Week. Go and click on that. You'll get all of these in poster format that you can download, put on your phone, take with you, remind you about all of this.
Share it with your partner.
Yeah. So that you've got this, it's good for discussion, good for understanding, but you've also got, oh yes, I can't remember, what are those four positions? You've got it on a chart there in front of you. These are the four positions.
Yeah. And I love it because you're simplifying it. It's not scary. I'm sure, you know, there are lots of options, but the more information you have, you're able to make the right choices, right?
Yeah. And if you think about it, not about, oh goodness, my thought has now gone to birth and I'm overwhelmed, but actually what makes sense? Does it make sense to sit in one position and lie down when you're in labor? Yeah. No, it doesn't. What is better?
Yeah. I mean, Lynn, if you think about it, you know, as mums, we spend so much of time, and as the community around our expectant moms as well, we spend so much of time about wanting to spoil moms with, you know, what do you need for your baby shower? You know, what nappies are you going to buy? And which pram are you going to get? And dad's busy researching and finding all that information. But how many people actually empower moms with information about their choices of whether it's their nutrition, whether it's their choice of their gynae or their hospitals, right?
Yeah, it's that part, getting the real good core information is much more important as to which nappy, which car seat, which cot to get for your baby. Those, yes, there are important issues and decisions to make, but actually your birthing is going to have lifelong implications on your baby and on your baby's health.
Absolutely. It is so, so important. And I think it's equally important, as much as it's important for mums to know, and I'll stress that, that mums need to explain to their community, to their support group, their friends, the grandparents, all of them, so that they all understand the decisions she's making and why. And, you know, it's an education lesson for everybody, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. Because how granny gave birth 20, 30 years ago is very different to the way the new moms actually have options.
Yeah.
And so everybody needs to learn together so that somebody's not putting a spanner in the works and saying, oh, but it's this way, my way or no way.
Yeah.
And actually you can be supportive of this younger couple who are giving, going to give birth, and that you can support them in the decisions they make, because actually they've researched the evidence, they're making good decisions. And so everybody's supportive of the situation because actually everybody is informed about what the evidence says.
Yep. And with all this information, I'm sure we've already given mums a good start to a pathway to a healthy birth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Lynn.
Pleasure.
If there's one thing to take away from today, it's that birth isn't just something that happens. It's something you can prepare for, shape, and navigate with confidence. Your body is designed for birth. And when you understand how to work with it through movement, hormones, and informed choices, you create the best possible experience for both you and your baby. Now, next time, we're diving even deeper, busting common birth myths and unpacking how birth choices impact your baby's long-term health. You won't want to miss it. I'm your host, Progyny Patha, mama of Mama Magic. And if today's conversation has sparked any questions or thoughts, I'd love to hear from you. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. Your support helps us bring more incredible guests like Lynn Bluff, who are here to empower and guide parents through this remarkable journey. Until next time, stay informed, stay confident, and remember, you are in charge of your birth.